Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And this is Mark and Trina Hankins. And they need no introduction because they are, I'm telling you, you're just knocking it out of the park, man. I get excited. And, you know, he's kind of excitable anyway. But, and so is Trina. And I need to give my testimony again. We were at the prayer cabin. And when I was a young lad, I had asthma really, really bad. And until they found out where it was coming from. Anyway, and I was up there for some reason or other. I woke up wheezing and going on. I said, I'm not having this. Well, I had the TV on. She gave her testimony about being healed and delivered from asthma. Yeah. I said, she doesn't have it, I don't have it. Just wow. Shouted thank you, and it was over. Hadn't wheezed since.
Yeah. Power of testimony.
Oh, yes, it is. Thank you.
Amen.
Praise God. And let's open our Bibles to two places, one in the book of Romans, the 14th chapter. And this, as we know, in the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, the gospel preached unto us the same as them, but they didn't mix it with faith, so it didn't profit them anything. Mm. Faith is the mixture. Mm. I like to say it like this. Faith is the catalyst. Mm-hmm. Did you ever use a catalyst adhesive? Mm-hmm. And once you get those two elements together, you got to move it fast because it starts heating up.
Yeah.
But either of the two elements are nothing until you mix them together. And then, man, the action is about to happen. So faith is the catalyst to these blood covenants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has to be mixed with faith. Faith in the word, faith in the blood, faith in the name. Amen.
Amen.
And the message you preached on the blood is one of the finest I have ever heard in my entire life because of the experiences that you actually experiencing in the matter of the blood.
The power of the blood.
And the power of the blood.
Yeah.
Praise God. And so Romans, the 14th chapter, the 23rd verse. And he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Mm. That is serious business.
Yeah.
And people talk about us faith people and all of that. That, to me, is a compliment. Oh, they're just that faith bunch. Yeah. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Well, you're just a fanatic. Yes, I am.
Yes,
I'm very fanatical about faith.
Yeah.
And the word fan, football fan, it comes from fanatic.
Fanatic,
Well, I'm fanatic about this book.
Amen. Yeah.
And people say I'm not balanced. Oh, I know it.
I know it.
I'm way out of balance. Balance is an equal amount of good and bad.
Yeah.
This is all good.
It's all good.
Anyway,
then
we'll go to the book of Ephesians, because this is what we're talking about. But we needed to realize that how important faith is. Now, my eye just dropped over here. Wait for the hope of the righteousness. Faith works by love.
Mm.
That's just next door in the book of Galatians.
Yeah.
It's all connected.
But this and the book of Ephesians, I wanted you to see this, Mark. The notes I made right here.
Oh.
In Christ, in Him,
in whom,
beloved, in whom, in Christ.
In Him.
And we got that from the same fellow.
We got that.
Brother
Hagin.
Amen. What is it, 134 times, I believe it is?
Yeah, over 130. In Christ, in Him, in whom.
And that's who we are. And that's who He is in us.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 4, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, I have a serious question.
All right.
How did you all meet?
How did we meet? We met at Bible College in Waxahachie, Texas, Southwestern Assemblies of God Bible College. I was a senior. She is a freshman. I asked her out on a date. She said, well, I need to pray about it. I said, well, let's just pray right now. I said, matter of fact, we were on the sidewalk. I said, let's just join hands. So I said, give me a hand. Lord, I said, if you want Trina to go out on a date with me, just let us know right now in Jesus' name. And I said, what did the Lord tell you? She said, I don't know. I said, he told me yes, I'll pick you up at 7.
Love it.
True story.
Glory to God.
The rest is history.
The rest is history.
47 years.
How long did it take you to ask her to marry you?
We got engaged the next November.
Just a few months, but we spent all of our dates going out studying Ephesians and Colossians and Romans because we wanted to make sure we agree spiritually, you know, and we studied faith. We studied Dad Hagen, and I found out we both like same stuff.
Agreed. Yeah. What a blessed day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, Gloria and I were scripturally illiterate when we met.
Oh. Hmm.
And, but I just got thinking about that. I'd never heard your testimony.
Yeah. We met at Bible College. And I went to meet her dad. Her dad, Brother Bierman, he's almost 90 now. And
he said to tell you hello.
Oh, praise God. You tell him how impressed I am.
He's a great man. He's such a fine man.
So I went to meet him and ask him if I could marry his daughter. And he said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to preach the gospel. He said, well, what are you going to tell the people? I said, I'm going to tell them who they are in Christ. So I said, you want to hear about it? After I talked to him a while, he said, okay, you can marry my daughter. So we've been doing it ever since.
That's good. Yeah. When I asked Gloria's dad for her hand in marriage, he said, well, yeah, I introduced you to her.
As long as you're going to pay for her, right?
Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Praise God. So, you preached and taught and really excited me. Watching your broadcast on the Ephesians 1 prayer.
Yeah. Mm.
That is so cool.
It is phenomenal. Yeah.
And I'm glad you did because I had let it slip.
Yeah, sometimes.
I had not been doing that.
Yeah.
And there's all the notes to it right there. But you fired me up about it.
Yeah. Well, you know where I got it from, right?
I do.
I mean, Dad Hagen came to my dad's church. In South Texas, West Columbia, Texas. And so my Dad Hagen would teach every morning, every evening. He'd stay at least 2 weeks. And he said, if you want to be strong in faith, he said, I'm going to give you, 6 steps to the highest kind of faith. Well, once I found out what faith could do and what faith would do, I said, well, I'd sure like to have the best kind. So he said, well, the highest kind is number one, is you go through Paul's letters or Paul's revelation, and every time you see the two words in Christ, in him, in whom, you circle or underline those two words because that's describing something you are and something you have. So I found out there's about 135 scriptures on in Christ, in him, in whom. But there's only 35 that are really significant. So he said, now, if you want those scriptures to light up for you, you take the Ephesians 1 prayer and you pray that prayer every day, at least once a day, maybe twice a day, and you don't miss a day for at least 6 months. He said, the first thing that'll happen is the Bible will become a different book to you. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you'll pray that prayer, he said, now don't miss a day. And so I got the Ephesians 1 prayer, and I put it on a card, and I put King James on one side, Amplified on the back side. I carried it in my back pocket because I was 17 years old, and I had bell-bottom blue jeans and platform shoes, and I had a big Afro hairdo. And I pulled that card out of my pocket at least twice a day, and I'd say, Father God, I'm asking you that you'd give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. So I prayed that prayer that the eyes of my understanding would be flooded with light, that I may know the hope of your calling. What is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints? What is exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe? According to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might, dominion, and every name is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Right? I prayed that prayer twice a day, and the first thing that happened is the eyes of my heart. Now, we know faith affects your hearing, your ears, but he said this revelation knowledge will affect your eyes or the way you see. You'll start seeing things that you hadn't seen before. And so I'm praying that prayer, Father God, I'm asking you, this is what I want twice a day, spirit of wisdom, revelation. He said three things are going to happen. Number one is you're going to know the call of God, the high calling of God. Number two, the inheritance. And number three, the tremendous power which God released in Christ towards us who believe. So I saw there really is no power shortage.
Right.
There is only a revelation shortage. In other words, man's greatest need, the believer's greatest need, according to Paul here, is for revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. And so I thought my biggest problem in those days was dedication. I thought, well, my dedicator breaks all the time. It does good on Sunday, but by Monday or Tuesday, my dedicator's broke again. So I found out what Paul prayed here was not for dedication. Yep. He said, I'm praying for the spirit of wisdom. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual breakthrough.
Well, he did the same thing in the letter he wrote to the Colossians.
Yeah, sure did. Same thing.
I pray.
Yeah.
That you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual
understanding.
Wow, yeah. Wisdom, as the scripture says, is a principle.
Yeah.
Thing. I don't know what the average is now, but it probably hadn't changed much. It's way, way, way up there.
Mm-hmm.
Far more college graduates fail than succeed.
Uh-huh.
Particularly at their field of education.
Uh-huh.
Unless they go into medicine or something like that. And even, there's even some failure there. Why? They don't have the wisdom to deal with the knowledge of what to do with it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what did God tell Joshua?
Yeah.
Meditate in my word night and day, and then you'll observe to do all that's written there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's the foundation of all this.
Yes.
Is it to be revealed to you.
Yeah. So the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So the Lord said to me, every breakthrough in faith will come from a breakthrough in the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In other words, for your faith to grow and to go forward, then there must be a breakthrough in revelation knowledge, more than just information, revelation knowledge.
Revelation knowledge is revealed knowledge.
Yeah, unlocked.
Yes.
And really the greatest thing is just simply the desire that you know that's your greatest need. And you just say, Father God, I'm asking you. So Dad Hagen said, you stick with it for at least 6 months and don't stop. And do it every day. Father God, I'm asking you, spirit of wisdom, revelation. I have to say it this way, because the first breakthrough I had, because I was raised in church, I know all the Bible stories. I mean, my dad's a great pastor and great preaching, but I didn't have this Ephesians 1. And so my first breakthrough was on a Friday night, me and some friends were studying the word, and we got Ephesians here, and we're out, and we come to Ephesians 2, 4, 5, and 6. And it says, God who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together with Christ and made us sit down together with him in heavenly places. Well, I was just 17, 18 years old, and I saw that happen. I saw myself made alive together with Christ, raised up far above with him, seated together with him in the same place of authority and blessing, seated together with Christ.
With all things under our feet.
And let me just tell you what the first thing I did. I laughed. I started laughing. I was in that meeting. I went, "Ooh, I just saw myself raised up together with Christ, seated with him, and the devil's way down and I'm way up here."
Sir.
So really, the fight of faith, you don't fight it from down here.
That's right.
Come on, you take your place in Christ, seated up there with him.
So what happened? Faith came.
Faith, just like that.
Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
That, the repetition of that word.
Mm-hmm.
And then revelation of that word.
And your faith in your spirit picked you up there and put you there.
Wow.
So you could see it.
I saw it.
And when you saw it, you said something.
I started laughing.
Yes, amen.
I said,
you said, ha.
You know, there is a laugh that'll come out of your spirit.
Yes, sir.
Which means I'm not trying to get it. I'm not someday going to get it. God's already done everything he's going to do about this for me in Christ. And I took my place in Christ and I'm seated together with him. And I'm looking down there and said, "Devil, you lying dog, you're way down there." And I'm seated up here. And so taking that place. So revelation knowledge gave me a breakthrough. Mm-hmm. I like to say it this way because the Lord explained it to me, because years later, I went to a Chinese restaurant, I suppose, and got me some sushi and some
Japanese
restaurant. I got sushi and I got some of the green wasabi. And so you get the soy sauce, you put that green stuff in there. So the lady says, "Yeah, be careful of that green stuff." I said, "I'm from Texas. I ate jalapeno peppers. I ain't afraid of no green stuff." So I got my sushi, man. I dipped it and I put double wasabi on there. Man, when I put it in my mouth, that wasabi, boom, hit me, went right to my head. I thought my brain was going to explode. I went, "Wow, wasabi!" Well, while I was meditating on Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, the Holy Spirit hit my brain like wasabi. And it hit my brain. In other words, it brought such a radical change to my thinking. From my perspective, I'm no longer down here trying to get victory or trying to get up there. I went, "Wasabi, the anointing of the Holy Ghost hit my brain. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in my eyes." And I went, "Wow, I'm seated together with Christ in heavenly places." And so I began to see the importance of what Dad Hagin would say. Take your place in Christ. And then he would say, go through. He'd say the best way to study the Bible. And there are many ways to study the Bible. He said the best way to study it is go through Paul's letters, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. Go through Paul's letters. Every time you see the two words in Christ, in him, in whom, circle or underline those two words, because that describes who you are and what you have, not what you're trying to be, not what you're someday going to be, what God has already done for you in Christ. So I just followed his instruction. Mm-hmm. I just went through those scriptures and circled them, wrote them down. Then I looked them up in the Amplified Bible and other translations, and I had a wasabi all the time. I mean, it's like, man.
A wasabi experience.
Yeah, I had a wasabi. Man, the word is alive.
Yes,
it's a living thing.
Yes,
and the spirit of wisdom and revelation really brings it from just being information, intellectual, to a spiritual power.
Now, Mark, I had those kind of experiences in the seminars that we had years ago under Brother Hagin. Because Gloria and I both, when we were married, and on purpose, on Friday the 13th, on purpose, and in 1962. And then she accepted the Lord Jesus in October and mine in the first week of November of that year. Then in January, both of us received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Didn't know anything. I mean, scripturally literate, both of us. And anyway, when we got into those seminars right there, there at Oral Roberts University, and then those 10-day seminars that he had, and I remember the one that hit me. I mean, it just set me on fire. First Thessalonians, the fifth chapter.
Yeah.
That your whole spirit and soul and body.
Yeah.
Now, of course, my young life is in the Southern Baptist Church. They talked about the new birth all the time. But I never heard that. But they thought the soul and the spirit was all the same.
Yeah.
A whole lot of Christians do.
Sure.
But that hit me.
Yeah.
We were right there in one of those seminars, and I leaned over there at Gloria. I said, this opens the whole Bible
up. Does.
This is the key to the whole matter right here. Mm-hmm. Spirit and soul and body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am a spirit, and I have a soul, and I live in a body.
Yeah.
That set me free.
Wow. You know, in Bible college, I went 4 years and graduated because I was lucky, not because I was smart. But I graduated from Bible college. And so studying Paul's letters or Paul's revelation, they said, we could understand everything Paul writes, these theologians said, if we could understand what the word pneuma is. And the word pneuma is the Greek word for spirit. If we could figure out what the pneuma is, because Paul is always talking about the spirit. And in Romans chapter 8, he uses the word spirit 20 times in one chapter. In other words, your answer, your victory, your deliverance, your blessing, your healing is all a spiritual thing, not just an intellectual, not a physical thing. And so the spirit of wisdom and revelation, in other words, the spiritual thing, when I pray in the spirit, my spirit prays, Paul said. And then the word Jesus said, I speak our spirit. So Dad Hagin said, physical healing is spiritual. You receive it first with your spirit, and then it comes into your body.
That's right.
And so the spirit of wisdom and revelation is something that hits you in your spirit, where the disciples, when they were talking to Jesus on the road to Emmaus, it said, our hearts were on fire while he's talking to us.
They got born again right there listening to him.
I believe it. Yeah.
That's a spirit book.
Yeah.
And it's a Middle Eastern spirit book.
Yeah.
And in order to appreciate it and receive the depth of it, you have to realize the problem that God had. And his only way to fix it was through a series of blood agreements. That's something else. The biggest part, when it translated Testament, it kind of threw everybody off. I'm satisfied that the translators were trying to get over the fact that this is a testament. It is the will.
Yeah, the
last will and testament
of
Jesus Christ, which that's good.
Yeah.
But that's a covenant.
Yeah.
It's a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And faith in these covenants is everything.
Wow.
To understand that they are blood covenants.
Yeah.
And when you couple that, like the prayer, the Ephesians 1 prayer.
Yeah.
When you realize that blood paid for this.
Wow, sure.
That's the reason it works.
Yeah.
And you cannot separate the spiritual realm and the earthly realm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
A spirit created all matter.
Yeah.
So you can't separate that.
Wow. Wow.
The world doesn't have a clue. But then, of course, that's our job.
To me, the Lord said something like this to me. He said, the blood covenant. He said the two words in Christ are blood covenant terminology.
Yes, it is.
Everything God did in Christ, what happened on the cross, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, everything God did in Christ, he did it for us, set to the credit of our account, just like we were there.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you see what happened in Christ on the cross, through the blood.
And to know the difference between the atoning blood of an animal and the remitting blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because when you look up remission, it means like it never happened.
Oh, yeah, amen.
And we're out of time.
Amen. All right.
Oh, my. Glory to God.
Wow.
But we'll be back in just a moment. Praise God. Give the Lord a praise.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Identity is an important topic. How you identify influences how you see and present yourself. The people you surround yourself with, and how you approach each day. as a believer, your identity can only be found in Christ Jesus. Understand how Jesus embraced the human condition so you could live in him as he lives in you. In this book, The Power of Identification with Christ by Mark Hankins, Mark draws from over 50 years of pastoral and traveling ministry experience to answer the questions of what, why, and how on the topic of your identity in Christ. Finding this identity is a choice, and here you will be given the tools on how to make that choice. Do not allow your supernatural identity to be lost or stolen. God identifies you with Christ, and his death, burial, and resurrection opens up who you are. It's the greatest thing that has ever happened to you. The same life, victory, joy, and blessing in Christ are now in you, and this changes everything. Order The Power of Identification with Christ by Mark Hankins for only $12.99 and receive the Ephesians 1 Prayer Scripture Card free with purchase or free by request. Go to kcm.org/TV special or when you call 800-600-7395. God has given us a supernatural identity through Christ that we might live in him and he might live in us. This offer is good for 60 days. Order your copy today.
You and I were born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives and abides forever. You were born from above.
Join us for the South Africa Victory Campaign, May 12th through the 13th. Registration is free, so make sure to sign up at kcm.org.za today.
Take the word of faith wherever you go with the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Build your faith through powerful articles from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and other guest authors. Read encouraging stories and testimonies of real-life victory and equip your kids for spiritual growth in Commander Kelly's Corner. Download a digital copy for your tablet or mobile device. Sign up for your free monthly subscription or download your copy today at kcm.org.
A person within Christ determinism thinks God's thoughts and sees himself. Whoa, you got, yes, I'm taking this home with me after you write in it. I know you enjoyed that today. Don't miss tomorrow. I know you turn the DVR on and do what you need to do so you go back and watch it over and over and over again. Amen. Until then, we'll see you tomorrow. And remember this, God loves you, we love you, and
Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Watch the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast free on kcm.org or KCM's Roku channel. If you would like a free copy of the broadcast to put into your faith library, you can download it on kcm.org or request it on DVD or CD. Keep your heart full of the Word of God and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.